Chapter 17. The girls exploded into an eruption of cheers and swearing below me, and from up here I caught the muffled celebrations of the locals all screaming in a similar fashion. Then one scream rose above all the rest, and I nearly leapt out of my skin because it was directly below the roof's edge.
"Jason!"
Becca screamed in a scolding tone.
"Get your perfect arse down here right this fucking minute!"
"Yeah, I'm coming," I hastily assured her. I swung the blaster back onto my shoulder, and then I carefully shuffled onto my stomach, slipped my legs over the edge, and dangled until my boots struck the window ledge. I could hear Becca whimpering anxiously while I slowly repositioned my grip on the roof. And then I caught onto the window ledge and lowered my body through the open glass. The second I jumped down to the attic floor, I was almost knocked over by my three girls as they tackled me with hugs.
"We fucked them up so bad!"
Kat yelled as she laced her arms around my waist.
"Dinos none, us a million!"
Becca cheered.
"We killed every single one!"
Heiwan chimed in with a smirk, and I planted a kiss on her cocky lips. "I can't fucking believe we did it!" I laughed.
"That was an awesome shot, Jason,"
Kat said with a lopsided grin.
"I was shitting myself that you were going to fall."
"So was I," I admitted, as adrenaline raced through my veins. "But it was worth it."
"Yes, the Almighty had no chance,"
Adhara said, and I resurfaced from my giddy girls to see her looking out the window at the dino massacre outside. When she looked my way, her beautiful smile nearly blinded me. Adhara's green eyes were dancing with metallic speckles, and her purple face was darker than usual while her soft lips spread wide into a dazzling smile. Her slender legs were still wiggling in the same adorable little celebration dance, and I instinctively climbed out of my girl's hold to head over to her. Then I reached out to put a hand on Adhara's shoulder, but she jumped into my arms for a hug instead. The alien's silver hair smothered me as she clung to my neck, and I laughed as she lifted her legs up behind her and let out a strange humming sound that sounded like pure delight. I wrapped my arms around her small waist while I marveled at how light she was, and after a moment, I realized I could actually feel her heart thrumming from behind her breasts. A second later, Adhara seemed to abruptly realize how wedged together our bodies were, and she hurriedly jumped back to the ground, twiddled her fingers nervously at her side, and sent me a tiny smile.
"You shoot nice,"
the alien told me, and a huge grin crept over my face. "Thank you," I chuckled. "You're incredible. All of you are. I'm so proud of you. Those fuckers didn't stand a chance."
"We should go check on everyone else, though,"
Becca said.
"I want to make sure Mum's okay." "I have a feeling she's just fine,"
Heiwan chuckled.
"She didn't even have to get dino bread on her heels for this one."
We all hurried down the attic stairs, and as we reached the second floor landing, we could hear the excited chatter from various rooms.
"Hey, awesome job, everyone,"
Kat yelled as we rushed over to the next set of stairs.
"Let's head downstairs and make sure everyone's okay."
Various locals emerged from their rooms and raced along behind us, and I smirked while they all carried on and on about the dino battle. "Did you see when I hit the raptor?"
"I got that big one right in the face!"
"It only took one shot and he'll fell right
Those
over."
"Those flaming purple balls were brilliant."
Everyone on the first floor was already out on the landing when we got there, and Debbie shoved through the crowd to reach us.
"Holy fuck!"
the older blonde woman shouted, as she grabbed her daughter into a tight hug.
"You fucking nutters! Exploding T-Rexes? My heart stopped!"
Becca was about to reply when her mom suddenly shoved her off and grabbed me for a hug as well, and I smiled at the Brit while her mother crushed my ribs for me. "You're okay?" I asked when Debbie released me.
"I'm bloody brilliant,"
she cackled.
"I got three of them in the head. Three! Can you believe that?"
"Hell yeah, I can," I laughed. "Is everyone okay on this level?"
"I think so,"
Debbie replied as she looked around.
"One of the girls had to go down to Eris because she fainted, but I think that was it."
"If that's all the damage we suffered, then I don't think this could have gone any better," I chuckled. And we moved as a crowd to the next flight of stairs. When we reached the lobby, Harris was pacing and waiting for us, and I sent him a reassuring grin as I held out my hand to shake his. "Is it over?" Harris asked nervously. "For now," I said. "How many injured?"
"Just one," the doctor replied with a sigh. "And that was only because she knocked her head when she fainted."
"Then let's all gather in the dining hall," I said. "Make sure the people from the basement are okay."
"I'll get them."
Harris nodded and hurried off to fetch his son. I strode into the dining hall feeling unstoppable.
and my lovers walked beside me with their heads held high. Our gorgeous alien friend strolled along with us as part of the team, and the dining hall was quickly filled with laughter and excited shouting as locals swapped stories and bragged about their shots.
"This feels good,"
Adhara said, as we formed a small circle in the middle of the crowd.
"Everyone is happy and together."
"We couldn't have done it without you," I said, and the alien looked down at the floor with a smile.
"So what now?"
Becca asked as she flicked her hair over her shoulder, and I looked around at the sea of excited faces. The first thought that came to mind was that I wanted to stay with everyone and celebrate. We were a real community here, and we'd been through a lot together. And we could bring out some wine and have a proper party to thank everyone for their bravery and dedication. I could take my three beautiful girls to bed at the end of yet another wild day in the dino apocalypse, and I'd fall asleep slightly buzzed in the happiest man on the planet. But our biggest challenge had only just begun. We needed to get Adhara's ship working, and we needed to reach Heiwan's dad as quickly as possible if we were going to stop these dino attacks and save the planet from Adhara's incoming fleet. "Becca," I said gently, "I think it's time you had a chat with your mom about us leaving."
"Yeah,"
the gorgeous blonde nodded.
"This is going to suck, but I feel so much better knowing that this lot can actually take care of themselves. Do you want us to come with you?"
Heiwan asked, and the blonde shook her head.
"I've got it,"
Becca smiled.
"I love you guys."
"We love you too," I assured her. "You've got this." Becca took a deep breath, and then she straightened her shoulders, fluffed her blonde hair, and strolled across the room to her mother. She walked so casually I would have believed it if she was just heading over there to tell her mom she was going to take a shower, and we all watched the chatting crowd shift aside for the beautiful blonde. "What do you guys think?" I asked, and turned to the others. "Time to get that ship in the air?"
"What about the mess outside?"
Kat asked.
"There's more dino guts than grass at the moment."
"Yeah, but these guys are experts at evaporating corpses now, remember?" I laughed. "I'm sure they'll be okay to handle one more job before they celebrate."
"Hey, everyone!"
Kat yelled out in her best military shout.
"Could we get some help evaporating those dino bastards as one last favor?"
There was a sudden cheer, which I hadn't expected, and I laughed once more as the residents of Ravenhall excitedly swarmed to the exit. "Well, they're in good spirits," I grinned, as the sea of locals headed for the main door. "I guess we're good to head to the ship."
"It's really happening,"
Heiwan squealed.
"We're going to go to Korea."
I smiled and looped my arm around my Korean lover's shoulders, and it felt surreal to finally be taking the leap and meeting her underground king of a dad. At that moment, it finally started to sink in that we would be leaving Raven Hall, and I looked around the dining hall as we started to follow the locals. As much as I'd hoped we'd spend the whole apocalypse in the castle, I wasn't sad to go. I knew this place would stay locked down now that we'd armed the locals and showed them how it was done. It was the best place for Debbie and the others to stay until we worked out how to end this crazy dino invasion once and for all. And as the crowd dispersed, I saw Becca and her mom locked in a tight hug in the doorway. Debbie pulled away from her daughter as we approached, and she wiped tears from her eyes with a smile.
"You better take care of my baby girl,"
she sniffed and gave me a whack on the arm.
"Korea, I'm bloody jealous."
"I'll always protect her," I said gently. "I promise."
"I know you have to do this,"
Debbie said.
"But I'll fucking miss you lot. You better come back."
"Of course we will, Mum,"
Becca said, and her brown eyes filled with tears.
"I love you, you maniac. I came all the way from Cambridge to make sure you were safe, though, so you better stay safe, or I will fly that spaceship back here and destroy all the wine bottles in this place."
Oh, stop making me cry,"
Debbie wailed.
"I've got my best mascara on."
"We're going to go and put the finishing touches on the ship,"
Kat said, and stroked Debbie's arm.
"Do you want to come?"
"Oh, no,"
Debbie said.
"I'll make myself useful and go pack your bags, eh? Make sure you've got snacks for the road and clean pants. Maybe a woolly hat, in case there's a cold spell out there in Korea."
"Thanks, Mum,"
Becca chuckled, and she pulled her mother in for another hug as the tears rolled down her pretty face. I felt my throat clench up a bit while the two beautiful blondes sniffled and hugged each other. But then I cleared my throat and offered Debbie a straight-faced nod as she headed off to pack our things. "I'm proud of you," I said to Becca, and I pulled her in to give her a kiss. The blonde met my lips passionately,
and my fingers tangled in her hair while I kissed her as long as she needed. When she pulled away, she chuckled and wiped her tears off my face, and she sent me a teary smile.
I feel good,
Becca sighed.
Sad, but good.
We'll be back, I promised, as we started to head to the pantry. Before you know it.
Well, not too soon,
Becca laughed.
I want my private island vacation. We've bloody well earned it, if you ask me.
We so have.
Haywan sighed and shook her head. The pantry door was unlocked as the locals swarmed through it, and as we stepped out into the cool air, I could smell the building stench of dino goop.
Ugh, they got on that quick.
Cat groaned as she wrinkled her nose.
Come on, let's get into that ship as fast as we can.
There was so much blood on the gravel that my shoes stuck to the ground as we walked. All around us, the locals were excitedly turning the corpses into piles of gunk. And it felt good to see everyone so happy, even though my gag reflex was going haywire.
Oh my god, my baby!
Kat suddenly yelled, and she pushed past locals to sprint over to the stone wall and jump over behind the clump of trees.
Uh-oh.
Haywan said sadly.
Her jeep. She's gonna be so sad.
Becca pouted as we hurried over to join Kat.
That big ugly car's so important to her. She has my ship now,
Adhara said lightly.
She does not need this small human vehicle.
Sentimental value, I said out of the corner of my mouth, and Adhara repeated the words with a confused look on her face. She was still saying sentimental value over and over when we swung our legs over the wall, and I prepared myself to comfort the pretty soldier in any way I could. Then we passed the clump of trees, and we found Kat next to her perfectly intact jeep. What the fuck? I laughed. The jeep looked dirty and had a few scratches along the back, but there was no serious damage, and the pretty soldier had her hands on top of her curly head and her mouth hung open.
I can't believe it,
the corporal said as she stared at the vehicle.
It's still here! Holy shit, it's still here!
The soldier suddenly snapped out of her shock and ran to the driver's seat to inspect for any damage.
How?
Adhara demanded as she examined the wheels.
You say you do not have force fields.
We don't, I laughed.
Then how?
The alien prompted.
I think it was this guy.
Kat grinned as she patted the cuddly shark on her dashboard.
He's lucky.
Oh,
Adhara said seriously.
Lucky soft fish protects the vehicle. That is very clever technology. Humans are not primitive in all ways.
The girls fell about laughing as Adhara moved into the passenger side of the jeep so she could study the shark toy. Well, I said and clapped my hands. One vehicle in working order. Let's go get a second. The girls nodded, and Becca grabbed Kat's hand and gently pulled her away from the jeep to make our way down the hill. The pretty soldier had a big smile on her face while her curls bounced around with each step, and Adhara walked beside her with a similarly happy expression. Then both girls looked at each other and chuckled, and as Kat looped arms with the alien, I felt my heart do a flip. They were both so cute about their rides, and I couldn't wait to see how happy Adhara was when her ship was up and running again. The walk down to the ship was an obstacle course of death, and there were too many dino corpses to count. Body parts were strewn all over, and the grass was slippery with guts. But about a dozen MI5 vehicles had survived the battle, so the locals wouldn't be left without plenty of intimidating black cars to drive around. One van had what looked like a T-Rex leg smashed through the front window. But even though everything looked like something from a horror movie, the countryside seemed peaceful, and the only sound was the gentle chatter of the group. When we reached the spacecraft, Adhara jumped inside to turn off the force field, and I looked up to the sky as we waited. The thought of sailing through the clouds on our way to meet a Korean gangster brought a grin to my face, and I decided to focus on the wildness of the idea instead of the fact that Haywan had three brothers who would most likely be armed and dangerous.
Let's go!
Haywan clapped, as the shield buzzed to signal it had been dropped, and we hurried through to the control room. Adhara was already cross-legged on the ground in front of the open panel, and she had her packet of graphite powder clutched in hand. How's it going, Captain? I smirked, and she looked up at me with confusion.
Who is Captain?
Adhara asked as she got back to dabbing the mixture onto the wires. It's someone who's in charge of a ship, I said. So, you're the captain of this ship?
Huh.
The alien nodded.
I like this. I am Captain.
What do you normally call that person?
Kat asked. Adhara smiled and made a crazy chirping sound that caused her gills to flex, but I could sense the pride in the way she said whatever word that was. Nice, I chuckled.
Yes, it is fitting,
Adhara agreed.
I can't believe we're going to fly to Korea,
Becca squealed as she leaned over the back of the pilot seat.
I've always wanted to go, but I never pictured it happening this way.
Really?
Kat snorted.
Which bit didn't you expect? The dinosaurs or the aliens?
I honestly didn't predict either,
the blonde said nonchalantly.
But I always knew it would be with a group of the world's sexiest people. Having the sexiest alien along for the trip is just an added perk.
Adhara didn't reply, and she seemed hyper-focused on her task, so I guessed she didn't really realize what Becca had said. I still sent Becca a stern look, since I didn't want the alien to feel uncomfortable. But my beautiful blonde just returned the look with a shit-eating grin. Then Debbie hurried through the doorway with two rucksacks clasped tightly, and she seemed flustered and a little teary still.
Here you go,
Becca's mom said as she placed the bags on the ground.
I packed all the stuff from your room, and I added some extras for the trip. You've got food, shampoo, a couple spare loofahs, and I packed some condoms, just in case.
Mum,
Becca sighed as she rolled her eyes.
We don't need those.
I choked on a laugh as my face got hot, and Becca's mom sent me a very motherly look with one eyebrow arched. My mind nearly turned itself inside out trying to come up with anything I could say right now. But then Becca saved me.
Actually, while we're on the subject of condoms,
the blonde Brit loudly continued,
I kind of have something to tell you all regarding that.
Huh?
Debbie's expression went slack as she whipped her head back around to her daughter.
What?
Well,
Becca grinned.
I'd like to make an official announcement. I'm pregnant!
My stomach did a flip as I stared at Becca, and the blonde Brit just stood there with a huge smile and watery eyes while her face turned bright pink. Then she held her hand over her smiling lips and giggled, and to my surprise, Debbie screamed and threw her arms around her daughter. I was still staring in shock when the two blondes stopped hugging and spinning in a circle, and they both looked at me with identical teary smiles. You're... Are you sure? I managed. You're really pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Becca sent me a hopeful smile.
I was feeling a bit sick this morning, and it's been the right amount of time since we first, you know, with the torn condom. Turns out I was right, and you had put a baby in me then. So I'm super happy we just kept fucking bareback after that because,
Becca!
Debbie groaned.
We don't need all the details.
But it worked out just fine.
My blonde lover laughed, but then she looked at me and bit her lip nervously.
You happy? I know we kept talking about this, but yeah.
I didn't have words at that moment. So I just dragged Becca into my arms, and she giggled against my chest while my whole body filled up with warmth. Then I tucked a few dumbfounded kisses in Becca's hair, and her mom was dabbing her eyes with her lacquered fingers as she watched us. Holy shit, I chuckled while her soft hair brushed my face. I love you so much, Becca.
I love you too,
she murmured and looked up at me with glittering brown eyes.
I've been waiting for this day.
I know you have, I whispered, and I kissed her softly while she let out the cutest whimper.
I'm gonna be a granny,
Debbie cheered.
You're gonna be a fucking great granny,
Kat laughed.
And Becca's going to be a fucking great mum,
Haywan sighed.
I can only hope I will be too.
The whole ship went quiet while I gazed down at Becca in a somewhat delirious state. But then I realized what Haywan had just said, and my gaze snapped up to my Korean lover. Her electric blue eyes were on me, and she had a mischievous smirk on her lips while she rubbed her belly. What? I mumbled. Are you... What?
Yes.
She fluttered her eyelashes at me.
Your child is growing inside of my womb, Jason.
Hooray!
Debbie screamed all over again and grabbed Haywan for a spinning hug.
Two babies?
Kat yelled and clutched her curls.
Holy shit, are you serious?
I do not joke about Jason's babies.
Haywan laughed as she spun right out of Debbie's hug and into my arms. The Korean beauty collided with me and Becca, and I was so overcome with happiness that I didn't know what to do with myself.
I just locked both girls in my arms and started kissing them all over while they giggled like maniacs, and my heart nearly beat right out of my chest.
Oh my God!
Becca squealed.
Pregnant at the same time? We are so in sync!
Both women are with offspring?
Edhara asked as she pulled her head from under her working area so she could look at us. Looks like it, I chuckled.
Your offspring?
The beautiful alien asked as her emerald eyes searched my face.
Well, no other man was pumping us full of his baby batter every damn night.
Becca laughed.
Baby batter?
The alien tilted her head.
Sperm?
Yep, that's some bloody strong sperm.
Debbie snorted, and I burst out laughing.
My God, Jason, you've got your work cut out for you, eh?
Yeah, I'm gonna be a dad, I said with a broad grin. And with Haywan and Becca in my arms, the words felt so fucking right tumbling out of my mouth.
Apocalypse daddy!
Haywan cheered.
The best kind of daddy,
Becca snickered.
Well, he's certainly proven he can hold his own under pressure.
Debbie laughed.
That's half the required skill set right there.
I grinned down at my two gorgeous pregnant girls while they smiled up at me. And I knew I would never forget the feeling of holding them both close inside that spaceship. Not only had I just taken down a mega herd and a whole squad of government officials, but I was about to have two kids brought into this wild, dino-infested world. I had so much I wanted to say, but I just held my two girls tightly, and I knew we were going to make amazing parents. We'd fought off more shit in the last few weeks than I'd ever planned on fighting in my life. But knowing how happy they were to have made it this far and ended up carrying my babies made me even more certain we'd figure all this out together. No matter what came next.
Jason, your sperm made their babies?
Edhara asked again. Yeah, I answered.
A lot of sperm?
She asked.
Oh, yeah.
Becca laughed.
Like I said, pretty much every night for the last month or two.
Oh.
Edhara said, and then she stood up with a smile.
Jason is virile? Make babies with all of you? Lots of sperm?
I'm on the pill.
Cat cleared her throat and blushed a bit.
So you cannot have babies?
Edhara gasped.
No, I can.
Cat gasped as her face turned a tomato red shade.
I just have to stop taking the drug.
You should stop taking the drug.
The beautiful alien nodded.
Men of my species can't make much sperm anymore. I would like offspring. You should have Jason's. He is strong, smart, and handsome. He will make desirable offspring.
Can we focus back up on the babies Becca and Haywan are having?
Cat chuckled.
This is good,
Edhara continued as her eyes burned into mine.
Very good babies for you. The females you chose are strong and beautiful. The humans will be pleased to know you populate this planet with good stock.
Thanks, I chuckled. I try.
God, you're going to make me cry if you keep that up.
Becca sent the alien a smug smile and tousled her hair. Then a sudden flash of blue above our heads made everyone but Edhara jump, and I looked up to see the large light in the center of the ceiling had changed from red to a calm sky blue.
Does that mean what I think it does?
Cat asked and pointed up.
Yes, the ship is ready to fly,
Edhara said, and I felt dizzy with excitement. This day just kept getting better and better. Holy shit, I chuckled, and all my girls and I exchanged enormous grins. This is it.
This is it,
Debbie agreed, and grabbed Becca's hands.
You tell me I'm getting a grandchild, and then fly off around the world in a fucking spaceship. You'll just never stop giving me heart attacks, will you?
Never.
Becca smiled. We should say goodbye, I said, and the girls nodded. Debbie led the way, and we piled out onto the hillside, and the locals had made a good dent in the dino bodies. Dino goop was everywhere, and the stench was revolting, but I still couldn't stop smiling.
Hey, everyone!
Debbie called, and the group glanced over. The blonde woman gestured for them to come closer, and there was a shuffle of feet as they obliged. Joey appeared with his dad, and the little boy seemed desperate to look at the gross scene around him. He pulled his father toward a dead raptor and gasped in amazement at the bullet wound in its head. But his dad was green and gagged loudly through the handkerchief he had tied to his face. "Hey, guys," I said, as the group gathered near the ship and looked at us with confusion. "What's wrong?" Mikey asked. "Are there more dinos?" "Not yet," I laughed. "I think you guys fucked up everything in a 5-mile radius for now. We just wanted to thank you all for taking us in and being so fucking awesome to us."
"Yeah, we'll never forget how great you've all been,"
Kat added, and the group seemed to collectively realize this was a goodbye. "You're leaving?" Harris asked with a frown, and I nodded. "On a spaceship?" Mikey blurted out. "Yeah, apparently," I chuckled. The whole group seemed pleasantly stunned at the news, and they murmured among themselves as they eyed the enormous spacecraft with the strange symbols etched into it. Joey gasped and broke away from his father to rush over to Haywan. He flung his arms around her and she stroked his hair gently, while Becca's brow instantly crinkled. I smiled as I watched, and I actually felt as sappy as Becca for once. Just imagining Haywan doing the same with our own kid made my pulse quicken. And when Becca caught me smiling, she giggled and hopped over to my side to plant a kiss on my cheek.
"I see you soon,"
Haywan said softly, and Joey nodded before he pulled away.
"Be careful in the spaceship,"
Joey mumbled before he sprinted back over to his dad.
"So where are you heading off to?"
Gerald asked politely as he carefully stepped over a small puddle of blood. "Adhara's got to get her ship out of here," I said. "And we've got some, stuff we need to do."
"What stuff?"
Mikey asked. "Where?"
"Oh, fill you all in over wine later,"
Debbie said as she waved a hand.
"It's a bloody long story, trust me."
"Well, thanks, guys," Mikey said with a friendly shrug, and the people around him nodded.
"You taught us shitloads, but you'll come back, right?"
"Definitely," I grinned. "As long as you guys keep fighting for this place, we'll see you again before you know it."
"Nobody fuck up my jeep while we're gone,"
Kat added.
"I'm keeping the keys with me, but I've left all my arsenal in your hands. So, Gerald, you see that room on the second floor stays locked unless needed, and the attic as well. Nobody is permitted to dick around and accidentally blow someone's head off, and there better be some ammunition left when I return."
"Certainly." Gerald bowed his head.
"I'll keep an eye on them, love,"
Debbie promised and winked. "Mikey, look after our bikes," I said, and I rooted in my pockets to find the keys before I tossed them over. Haywan did the same with her set, and the pierced shopkeeper grinned from ear to ear as he caught both sets of keys and then saluted.
"And you must be careful with my weapons,"
Adhara added, and Mikey's mouth fell open.
"We can keep them?" he asked. "Are you serious?"
"Yes, I have many, many more, and I think you will die without some."
The alien nodded frankly.
"You have shown you can use them well. Do that, and be careful."
"We will,"
the shopkeeper said eagerly.
"Thanks. This is fucking awesome. You're a really, really cool alien."
"Cool is a good thing,"
Adhara said, and smiled a little. "It is," I chuckled.
"Well,"
Debbie sniffed.
"That should do it. Come on, you lot. Back to work."
Becca's mom clapped her hands, and the locals gave us various waves and farewells before they got back to work evaporating the carcasses all over the hillside. I looked up at Raven Hall, and I felt a deep sense of pride for what we had accomplished in our short amount of time there. My life had changed so much over the past few days, and it was about to get a whole lot wilder. But Raven Hall was secure, and from what I'd seen today, I had a feeling it would stay that way until we figured out what the fuck to do about this apocalypse.
"I think it is time to fly,"
Adhara announced, and a rush of excitement rose up in my chest.
"Bye, darling,"
Debbie said, as she held her daughter's hand, and then she glanced at me.
"You keep that grandchild of mine safe."
"Always," I said, and the blonde woman gave us a teary wave as we headed back inside the ship.
"So..."
Kat grinned while we strolled down the sleek metal corridor.
"This has to be the coolest pregnancy celebration in history, right?"
"Only the best for my girls," I chuckled.
"See that?"
Becca sighed.
"That is why we mated with you."
"Yeah, mating with Jason was the best decision I ever made,"
Haywan stoically agreed.
"I highly recommend it, Kat. Just for future reference."
"When will you stop taking drug?"
Adhara asked the soldier as she sat down in the pilot chair.
"You should make offspring with him. You should do it now."
"Oh,
Kat turned bright red, and I casually cut into the conversation. "Let's get seated," I suggested,
and the pretty soldier sent me a blushy but grateful smile.
Yes, I am captain, and I say we are getting seated to leave now,
Edhara proudly announced, and she hit the button to activate the spare seats. Once the sleek metal seats rose from the floor, we each grabbed a spot, and I took a deep breath as I looked out of the front window. You guys ready for this? I grinned.
Hell yeah!
Becca cheered.
Let's go see my dad,
Heiwan added, and her voice wavered with just the slightest hint of nerves. I reached over to grab her hand, and I gave it a light squeeze, even though I was getting a little nervous over the idea as well. Adhara's lilac hands raced along the control panel as she hit various buttons, switched a few levers, and hummed to herself. The ship sprang to life with beeps and flashing green and pink lights, and the floor started to vibrate. The sensation rippled through my seat and into my bones, and my girls all bounced eagerly and exchanged giggling glances. I was about to ask if we needed seat belts when the spaceship made a loud whirring noise and suddenly flew off the ground and shot up into the sky. The chair sucked me back so I was pressed against it, and it held me firmly in place even with the sudden movement of the ship. Holy shit! I laughed and looked out over the tops of the woodlands.
Ah, yes. Time to fly,
Adhara nodded, and from my seat I could see the adorable smile on her purple lips. Then she glanced over her shoulder at us all.
I told you the graphite powder works.
We all burst out laughing at her stoic bragging. And as we hovered over Raven Hall in the whirring spacecraft, I'd never felt so fucking good in my life. I had my three beautiful women beside me, two babies on the way, and a gorgeous spacecraft pilot to lead us onward to a whole new country. I watched out the window as the lilac woman took the craft around and faced the open water of the sea. The waves crashed against the cliffs below us, and suddenly, nothing seemed impossible.
Wait, how do we get to South Korea?
Becca suddenly asked.
Do we even have the fucking directions?
This is okay,
Adhara said, and flicked her fingers all over the controls to her left.
I know the city of Southern Korea. I saw it on my interface once. It cannot be difficult to find.
I opened my mouth to protest, but then Adhara flipped a final switch, and the ship shot forward. The ocean blurred below us, and Kat cheered like she was on a roller coaster, while Becca screamed at the top of her lungs. Heiwan laughed her ass off beside me, and I chuckled while the beautiful alien in front of me gave a little bounce in her seat and piloted the ship out over the glistening water. I had no idea how we were going to manage it, but this was definitely the best crew I could have imagined saving the world with. End of Book 6.